cliffcentral.com.
Welcome back to Wedding Central. You're with myself, Ntombi Ntlapo.
And myself, Carly De Villiers. I nearly forgot who I am there. It's got to a stage where we are very tired.
100%. I'm
and
a walking
we're counting
zombie.
Counting down the wedding.
Yeah. Days. It's awesome today because today we're going to be discussing alternative entertainment at weddings. We have the awesome Clinton and Brooke. Is it right, Clinton?
Yes, that's
yes, it. Clinton and Brooke in studio from
Elegant Entertainment.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about Elegant Entertainment. Give us some background into the company.
Okay, so I set up the business about 5 or 6 years ago in South Africa. Off the back of a company in the UK. So we actually have a company in that's based in London as well.
Okay.
And we specialise in singing waiters, which Carly knows really well.
Yeah. Have you ever had them at any of your weddings?
No, I attended yours.
Oh,
I saw
yes.
Them.
Okay.
So we brought the singing waiter concept to South Africa. And it's just an absolute, that's so popular at weddings.
Right.
An absolute scream. And really unique entertainment if we're going down that route.
100%.
Yeah, so we basically provide anything live to for any kind of event, but we work very heavily in the wedding industry here.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And Clint, what's your involvement?
I work more on the corporate side, so
right.
Corporate entertainment, but I do dabble in the odd wedding.
Bridezilla
scare me.
Oh, you've done it. You've sang a number of times at my weddings, don't
I
you?
Have, yes. So I'm
but
also
you don't
one of
deal
the singers.
With the brides.
No, sometimes I do.
Really?
If I'm not one of the singers, I'll deal with the brides.
Okay.
Either or.
But it's better not to.
Yeah.
It's better just to sing because then they go, oh, thank you.
Let's explain to the listeners, for somebody who has never heard of the concept, when you say singing waiters, what exactly is the actual experience? Like, take me through for somebody who doesn't actually understand.
Okay, so essentially what we've done is we've taken the flash mob to the next level. So we take for our most popular act, which is called Aria's Anonymous, we take, and it works really well at weddings, this act, we take three performers. They're undercover at the event as if they're staff at your venue. First guy you meet is a guy called Giovanni Barbaro, and he's often has a bad Italian accent. It goes something like this. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Giovanni Barbaro, and I am your banqueting manager here.
Okay.
And then he goes on and he tells them that he's got... everyone's here on a special evening because the head chef is leaving.
Okay.
So if they don't mind, he's going to say a few words.
Okay.
When the head chef comes up, he says he'd like to sing for them because he wants to enter Idols next year.
And at this point in Ntombi, if you are the planner, you kind of got to play along with it.
Yeah.
You got to be like, your face has got to start to say, what the hell is going on here?
What is going on here?
Because that's the first thing people do is look to you sometimes because they've seen you around and then they start to think, well, why would the chef want to sing?
And
isn't this gonna like ruin something?
100%.
Well, it gets worse. And he doesn't just sing, he sings badly. So he sings really badly to start, and Giovanni has to come running back in and chase him back into the kitchen. And by that stage, people are going, "What is wrong with this venue? This venue that I've spent thousands of rands on is
and the bride and the groom also have to play face, eh?
Well, sometimes the bride or the groom don't actually know about it. It's one or the other, so it's actually a surprise to or it's just a surprise by the couple to the guest.
Or sometimes I've done weddings where the bride and groom actually
don't know
about it.
Yeah.
So I had one where.
So their face is doing exactly what you're doing right now.
So I had one instance where an aunt bought it for her niece.
Right.
And I remember as we started the act, the best man kept looking at us and he kept like signaling like, please stop this, please cut it. But you know, the act then ensues and the guys eventually sing the most incredible arias and songs like La Donne Mobile and Nessun Dorma. And they're obviously, the audience is just blown away because they realize these guys are undercover singers.
Oh, you have people in tears sometimes.
Yeah. Really?
You know, it's like the tears just roll down people's faces.
Well, I'll tell you one of the best stories I've ever done was Johan Stemmet from Noot for Noot. We did his son's wedding and I was playing Giovanni. Oetegod, I won't say where this venue was, but the waitress at the venue went up to one of the guests, and the guest said, "Could we get three cocktails over there?" And this waitress just said, "No, and walked away. And I was absolutely awful. And I was pretending to be the marketing manager. And Johan Stemmer took a beeline for me. And he basically lambasted me, you know, from top to bottom, you know. And I was going, I'm very, very sorry in my very bad Italian accent. Going, I'm very, very sorry. You know, I will sort this out immediately, and running off. And then... Once he heard us sing, because I wanted to watch him, because that's the payoff,
right?
Because you want exactly the uncomfortable feeling, and then you want the audience to go, "Oh my, this is so
amazing,
unexpected."
Right. Yeah.
And he literally, I just watched him, and his whole head went into his hand, and he just, you know, it's great.
So you guys don't even like do you? Are you part of the staff for that day? Like, do you actually take orders and clear tables?
Yeah, so
like,
I always say they're actors and singers, so they won't be there for the full time, but they come out every sort of 15-20 minutes and they'll masquerade. And they will serve the odd person. The banking manager will come out and check, look very important.
Right.
You know, so it works.
And the chef comes out and he looks a bit dirty and like he's been in the kitchen and
the third guy is a waiter as well. So he's usually dressed in whatever the waiter's
and he gets all the random
completely the random requests.
Can I have a plaster? And complains about this, and you know,
and usually, you know, he starts to sing, and then literally, within a second, somebody will call him over to order drinks, and you're like, he's just singing,
he's just performing.
Yeah,
I remember at Carly's wedding, one of the singers, and we had ordered drinks, and he just never came back, and I was like, Jesus, like, where do you like find these
really
people,
bad waiters?
You know? Well, just to give you the background about it, because obviously a lot of people attending our wedding were in the wedding industry.
Right.
I'm surprised that you haven't had it before.
No, because my people, were not so far into like the opera, like the kind of music.
But
that
you know,
is.
I did a huge African wedding for 600 people in Polokwane with this act, like not even a year ago, and people just loved it because opera is not about the music being operatic and no one getting it.
Right,
it's about the spectacle.
Mm,
so the minute you have three undercover waiters or staff singing a song like Ness and Dorma, which you don't even have to know, you just sit there with your eyes wide open going, what am I witnessing?
It's pretty amazing. No, it's absolutely fine. I mean, I've tried to sell it, but zero takers as yet.
So we had to change it up. Remember, Brooke, we had to change it up, and it had to, the undercover person, because we put everybody in taxis and they had to go off, and we made ours undercover person a journalist who had an alcoholic background, and he used to be an alcoholic, and he progressively, as the night went on, got progressively worse. And he had a sunglass tan, and he was getting really, really drunk, and he was the one that stood up and, you know, like started causing a scene, and then so the guests were just like absolutely finished.
And it's funny, you know, I've been to so many weddings recently, like especially this year for some odd reason, but All the brides and even the grooms are getting in on doing things like flash mob dances on their audiences.
It's a huge thing.
So it's a massive thing at the moment.
It's a huge thing.
You know.
Would you say that entertainment, thank God, has grown to be more than just the DJ? And why do you think it's important now to include some other form of entertainment in your wedding instead of just, you know, hiring the normal band or DJ?
Yeah, I think it's about the day being memorable and being experiential because we're so used to that now as a society.
Yeah.
You know, everything is an experience.
Yes.
So bringing something to life is so, so important. So, you know, the decor is hugely important. Mm. You know, all those kind of what I would say non-live aspects are really, really important. But that creating that sense of feeling and something
the emotions.
Igniting
those emotions.
And you walk, you know, guests walk away talking about it. So we've had brides like emailing us three years later saying, oh my gosh, I just had to pop you an email through. It's our anniversary. And people are still talking about what we did. So anything, you know, like live bands. There's nothing more, we always say life affirming.
Right.
Than hearing something, you know, in a live manner. So vocal talents, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, you kind of
goosebump
the voice
kind of stuff.
You know, the voice is awesome because you don't expect something from somebody
in
that way.
Yeah.
So So I think for weddings, you know, having a violinist in the ceremony or a string quartet, or it's just much more beautiful than listening to it on a track.
Yeah.
100%.
It kind of gives you those goosebumps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I'm all for experience, and I'm more and more trying to, you know, gear my clients into pushing more of the experience. Yes, it can look beautiful, but that's not Carly, don't shoot me.
We know. I get the brief and I see the budget. Yeah. I'm like, it's all fine.
You know, so that's not where, you know, that's not where the focus needs to be, because that's where the memories are created. Yeah. And through experience, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. Yeah,
I've noticed as well, and I hate it because I want the photographer to take photographs, but everyone has their phones out nowadays.
Yes. You don't see faces, you see phone covers. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
So if you're giving them something live and they're recording it, it's part of the experience now.
And they're putting it on Instagram stories.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, it's great.
Yes. Yeah. I love social media.
Let's talk about the live entertainment aspect. There's a number of things we have to consider as planners when it comes down to live entertainment and things like that. But for a bride that maybe she's decided to go without a planner and she's doing a lot of the planning herself, let's talk about what do you need to consider when you're engaging or you are having somebody do live entertainment at your wedding.
Yeah, there's quite a number of things. So I'll talk about kind of hospitality and technical. So if you've got a band or a solo musician or a number of performers, they do need to be looked after. So typically we kind of forget that they may only perform for an hour and a half, 2 hours, but they're going to be at that venue for pretty much most of the day because they're going to set up, they're going to make sure they do a sound check, all that kind of thing. So they need to be looked after in regards to kind of food, a room to sit in so that they've got a place to change all that kind of stuff.
Warm up their voices.
Yeah, exactly. So it's things that somebody wouldn't necessarily know unless they'd experienced that. And then also technical. So a lot of bands for weddings, a lot of musicians for weddings will bring their own technical equipment because we wouldn't expect, you know, a bride to know what is going on with that unless they have some sort of in there. They have a friend who can do it or that kind of thing. Yeah. Who really knows what to do.
Oh gosh, please don't encourage that.
I know. And this is the thing. Sometimes people do have a friend who is capable of doing it, but we always check.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
We always check. Yeah. We always speak to that person directly.
Yeah, right.
And we're open and honest with those kind of clients, you know. They typically bring their own technical equipment. So kind of being able
the bride would have to provide the technical equipment.
It tends to be the band who would bring that for a wedding.
Right. Must double check that. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
But brides must double check that. And I think like a lot of brides will maybe go and get a very well-known artist. You know, if they go and get Luisa, they're not going to, they're paying his fee.
Yes.
But then they also have to, that doesn't include his technical rider, his personal rider and all of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And particularly celebrity, you know, kind of entertainers.
Right.
They really do not include that. So and they will give you a very specific hospitality and technical rider and they must be adhered to.
Yeah.
You know, it's something, and it's kind of a respect thing.
Yeah.
And if they're not, watch out.
Yeah.
It will actually be literally, in their contract that they won't perform.
No, 100%. I mean, I've seen it before where people, thank God, not at my weddings, but I've seen it before where an artist, because X amount of a particular brand of water or food or whatever the thing is not there, and then they say, I don't have to perform, and they just pack up and they leave.
The technical ride is a really important thing, and most brides would never have come across it. They probably don't even know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Right.
So a rider is really just a list of things that the artist needs in terms of technical and in terms of hospitality.
Right, right.
And the reason why they're so difficult sometimes is because they need to know that they are being looked after in a particular way. So if it says green jelly beans, they're only doing it for one reason. If they know that they walk into that room and there's a bowl of green jelly beans, they know that everything else on that ride has been done.
Yes.
But if they walk into the room without the bowl of green jelly beans,
then there's a lot of other things that
there's something missing. So
it's
like a really
important
thing.
And I mean, when it comes to the technical, don't go and give them just any sort of microphone. If they're asking for a Shure microphone or whatever, that's what they want.
Well, also, it's going to affect your day. So if you want the best out of your day, give them they're asking. Yeah.
And 100%. I think there's a huge thing as well, for somebody who doesn't know this, a DJ is very different to a sound engineer. 100%. So if you have, you know, if you have a, like you said, a Loisa Bala, so he comes in and sings, and he basically, he wants a sound engineer.
Yeah.
Your DJ that you may have booked, a wedding expert, might not tick those boxes, because a sound engineer is there really to mix vocals.
Right.
And they have, it's a completely different skill set.
Right.
So, a sort of run-of-the-mill DJ sometimes cannot do that. So it's worth checking.
100%.
So just explain what that sound engineer, when you say with the vocals, what would he be doing typically?
So he basically will set up a PA system, and then if you have, say, three or four singers, or you have a number of musical instruments, then he will then mix all of that sound.
Yeah.
Because every single element of that sound has a different input into what we call a mixing desk. So then he needs to make that sound fantastic. Now, if you've got a DJ who cannot do that, is not experienced in that, then you might have the vocal level, so that person's vocal microphone may be really low, and then the drums may be really loud, and then you've paid all this money for this amazing band or this artist, and you're not hearing it properly.
Yeah, 100%. And another thing is that people don't realize that the technical stuff, because with your technical writer, you get the actual technical equipment, you know, your amps and your speakers and whatnot, but you are going to have to pay for technical stuff, the technicians to set it up, your sound engineers, people to do the sound check, all of those people, and those people need to stay on site literally the entire entire day until pretty much the equipment comes apart. Because should something go wrong, you want somebody who's skilled enough to be able to quickly fix it or manage it or whatever. Yeah. Because I always say, you know, silence at a wedding means something's wrong.
Absolutely.
And that is the sign.
And the last thing you want is for your speeches, which are so, so important, to not be heard. And then they're always the thing for me is with those technical guys as well, is you have to feed them.
You have to feed all the stuff. And it's amazing to me that sometimes, you know, you have clients that try to fight that. And I'm like, you know, these people are working 12, 14, 16 hours at your wedding, and you refuse to give them but a meal and a Coca-Cola.
I was quite interested this weekend, because I worked a lot with a lot of corporate teams, and they were used to not being fed.
Already.
That's unusual. It is unusual. Most clients will feed them, but I think it's just the climate we're in at the moment.
Yeah, every penny counts.
I've noticed at one or two events where some suppliers bring in their own food, but it is unusual.
Normally
they will be provided for.
Yeah. And it's 100%. Also tricky because, you know, if you're a venue, typically you're not really surrounded by, you know, takeaway food outlets. Do you really want your suppliers to leave your venue
and go look for food?
You've not got the luxury of having them there to do their job, and they're now looking for food. It's kind of
absolutely. 100%. I mean, I was quite surprised, because I mean, we're so used to at weddings making sure all the suppliers are there, but when they are having lobster and they are having this, it is a very big thing now. You're going to pay that for your suppliers as
100%,
well.
100%.
And then they must just give them lasagna.
Lasagna and salad.
On the corporate things, that's what they do. So on the corporate side, they'll get another room, and they'll have another. The caterer will do a separate kind of menu for the crew.
100%. Another thing that I like that you mentioned is the fact that it's very important that when you're booking a band or a huge artist or whatever the case, any live entertainment, the technical equipment, you need to actually stipulate what it's going to be used for, because it's one thing to say, yes, cool, we've got all the equipment and all the people to set it up or whatever. Those people might go ahead and set up in your reception venue because they booked for that area. What's going to happen during your ceremony time? What's going to happen during your cocktail time?
Absolutely.
You're going to need some kind of sound equipment in those areas, but if you don't say that to the people that you're hiring all this music and stuff from and the equipment from, it doesn't appear on the day, because they pack very, you know, they stick to their packing lists, and it's not like there's an extra speaker and an extra microphone or whatever the case is. So it's very important that you stipulate that, okay guys, my MC is going to need a lapel mic, for the ceremony I'm going to need X, Y, Z, and this is what I'm trying to do for my cocktail, so that they have all of that extra equipment there for you.
And it's so important to know your venue, because you know, often venues are so different.
Right.
So you may have a bigger space between the reception area and the ceremony area. In which case, kind of, you need two completely different setups.
Right.
So it's so important to select the right supplier.
Right.
You know, that's the key thing as well. And that's always different difficult because, you know, I would say go with your guts, but that doesn't always answer those
yeah.
questions, you know?
Yeah.
You know, go with people who are expos. I don't know. I mean, that might be something that you guys can chat a little bit more about in terms of that. But we know who, we only work with people who know what they're 100%. Doing. And they know these venues 100%. Because they work very regularly.
Yeah, and it's very important that people understand that price is something you're going to face, and people find. I think people think that because they're so expensive, it's unnecessary. Let me take the cheapest guy.
Yeah.
You're going to end up in trouble.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Most of the experienced technical crews in Johannesburg or all over the country,
right.
bring their prices down for weddings. So brides can be lucky in the knowledge that they're not paying what corporate companies are paying.
Yeah, yeah.
So rather than going to a friend of a friend, go to the guys right. who are professional and know what they're doing first and get a quote from them. You may be well surprised.
100%. Yeah. What, you know, Kylie always says, and this is the thing, you know, with weddings, people are paying out of their own pockets. Mm. So every single rand is felt much more than a corporate who has a budget for a function or whatever. So even though, yes, the prices are much lower for weddings.
Yeah.
You still might find a bride saying, oh my God, how am I going to pay 25,000 Rand for just sound and equipment and you know, live entertainment or whatever the case is. No, let's rather go with the guy that's going to be 7,000 Rand and then you're going to run into issues.
Then let's talk about that because, I mean, you have the guys who will do it as a backyard thing, type thing. And then don't you have to have some sort of license to be able to play music?
You do for if it's a big production show. Mm-hmm. So we're lucky in the weddings that you normally don't have to.
Right.
DJs do.
Yes, they would have to have the Samra and Sampra licenses.
Yes. Right.
So that's a little bit different. So it's, our sound engineers, not necessarily, but because they're not really playing music.
Mm-hmm.
But for DJs, absolutely. So that's always a good thing to look out for when you're speaking to DJs, is that Samra accreditation.
Because the last thing you want is a licensing inspector coming and shutting down the wedding.
Yeah.
Another thing, do you ever really experience with your live entertainment? It tends to be a lot louder than what a normal DJ would be.
Yeah.
Do you have problems with that at venues and things?
Sometimes at boutique venues, especially when they're in residential areas, it can be an issue. And again, that's why you need a really good technical provider, because they can play with that. So they can, you know, they can make the sound fantastic, but the overall level can come down
slightly.
And
the bass is not so heavy.
Yes, exactly. So it can be worked around. But again, a conversation to have with your venue, really, because you don't want to be in a situation where you, as your guests, are going to be party animals.
Right.
And then you're in this beautiful venue, but actually you have to shut down by 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
You
know?
So that's a consideration.
It's not great. It's smiling on awesome Friday.
But so I think that can be worked around. But then don't book a heavy metal band, you're going to have sound restrictions at your venue. I think logically you would have chosen the right venue for you.
Sure.
I think a lot of brides don't really realize the sound restrictions that venues have when they start booking.
Yeah.
And it becomes an issue. And I think that comes down to when you're starting to look for venues. You've got to look at how close the houses are to you. To
not
the venue.
Even how close the houses are. I went to one in the Midlands a couple of weeks ago.
And the sound traveled.
Even then, the sound traveled. And they had residents down the road going, it's actually bouncing off the valley across the road. So, you know, you've got to pay attention to it.
I always say to my clients, what are your non-negotiables? If the party is a big thing for you, then let's make sure that when you book your venue, it's a place that's not going to shut the party down. You need to start with your non-negotiables and then book according to that, so that it doesn't become an issue further down the line.
Or you do the necessary applications with the necessary authorities to allow for sound
for that
laxations
day.
And things like that. So I think that is a big thing. If you are going to have a big party and you know there's lots of sound and whatever else, rather apply for
let your neighbors know as well. Make sure it's a courteous thing to do.
And I think it also comes down to the kind of entertainment that you select. So, you know, if you have something that's a little bit more ambient sound, you know, so a duo that are kind of doing this beautiful background music versus something that's a little bit bigger. So we can also, when it comes to choosing artists, we can kind of work with that.
Yeah,
for the client, you know, and that's something for people to bear in mind, you know. But it's those questions to ask the artist.
100%. Now, here I am planning a wedding. What would you suggest in terms of planning my entertainment? When is the best time to do what kind of entertainment in a wedding? Like, you know, cocktail versus reception.
It really all hangs off on the bride and groom. Because the weddings, no one follows a formula anymore.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you guys know this. Right. So, you know.
Oh, I love weddings where it's just so not the norm.
Yeah. Right.
Like, let's have the ceremony at 12 o'clock at night.
No. Can you imagine? All night a wedding.
Yeah.
And also, it depends on the type of wedding.
Right.
So if you want a highbrow wedding, mm-hmm. then, you know, to have a violinist in the background as the bride walks down, or even a boys choir if it's you know, something like that, then do it then. Mm. But the most popular thing these days, and I think it's the sort of hipster feel that's kind of crept into all of our mindsets, and that's to do something like little hipster bands that are great in your cocktail, hour, while you're off doing your photographs. People need to be entertained.
Mm. Yes.
You know? And I've noticed...
So important.
Yeah. So people, that to me seems to be the biggest thing lately, is people don't put too much on the ceremony or too much in the reception, but that little bit cocktail hour seems to be one of the most popular.
Yeah, it starts to create the vibe for the rest of the wedding. I feel like everyone's starting to tap their feet and ready to set the tone.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It definitely sets the tone for the rest of the wedding.
Absolutely.
Now, if I wanted to hire a band for the reception, when would be the best time for that band to perform? Why I ask is the band supposed to be something that we stop and watch and appreciate? Or is a band supposed to be like a background thing while we are eating?
So I think it's nice to have a band that can do a kind of background set. So they maybe do, typically a band will perform for 3 45-minute sets. That's kind of the industry standard. So one of their sets can be a background set. So it can be during dinner, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have two big party sets after the dessert, or during dessert, and then into the party, because that's when you really want to get people going.
Right.
So having them do a big party set when people are sitting on, you know, the tables doesn't really play well. So it's nice to have that kind of band, and typically party bands do that kind of thing. So that works beautifully.
Okay. I was asking because the other day we had a comedian in here, and he was saying that, you know, if you have entertainment, sometimes make them like the main, like, not main feature, but make them something to watch so that people have something to always discuss.
I think if you book an act, like you book a comedian, or you book a singing waiter act, then you want it to pop.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So what's the timing with that?
You want it to live on its own. And I always say the best time is just after that main meal.
Okay.
Because there's always that funny lull.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, they're not really sure what to do yet. Can they get onto that dance or not?
Do we start drinking all the way up now?
Exactly. And all your speeches have been done, all that rigmarole's out of the way.
Right.
Let that have a nice act that pops up, and then you're ready to party, because then everyone's raring to go.
Yes, 100%, 100%.
Can we talk about these surprise dances that the couples do?
Oh,
even like a bridal party.
It's so popular.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh, there was that video that went viral. Gosh, I must find the link. Where this chick basically did this whole Beyonce routine. She was literally in gear. She got her bridesmaids.
And she hardly had any clothes on.
Yeah, I was also just like, I don't know if my dad would be so keen on my bums.
Well, we did say there are no formulas for weddings.
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, but she did the whole choreography. I think it was like a 7-minute routine with her bridesmaids. She was hair throwing and all that, and I was just like, oh my, like the time and dedication. Okay, first off, she was a dancer, so not really fair. So not really fair. But yes, let's talk about your first dance and how you can make that so much more.
I just helped two friends of mine choreograph a first dance, and it was so awesome, just as a favor, you know.
Right.
And it was so awesome because nobody expected it. So again, it's that surprise element.
Right.
And it completely reflected them. So I think it's a case of kind of if you think ballroom is really you, then go and find a ballroom instructor.
Mm-hmm.
If you think another style of dance is more kind of your vibe, then go and find somebody who does a bit of rock and roll, or, you know, contemporary dance, or whatever works for you. But it's got to be a reflection of those two people.
And
you know?
I think if you're comfortable to actually to dance.
Yes.
I mean, I have had it. There's been one or two where you think, oh, girl, you shouldn't have. You shouldn't have shuffled from side to side.
And also you don't want the bride to be nervous for her whole evening.
Yes.
You know, it's got to be something that they're comfortable with, and they're not going to build themselves up to you, because you want them to enjoy the speeches before.
Yes.
I would say, so meet with a choreographer.
Yeah.
Choreographers are inexpensive.
Yes.
And they are more than, but most of them come from like a musical theatre background in South Africa. Mm. So they won't just give you a hip hop style or a Latin American ballroom. Mm-hmm. They'll go, what are your personalities and what do you want to do? I'll create that.
I think that's awesome. And then encourage it. And the whole thing with the bridal party as well, I think that can be logistically nightmarish as well, just in terms of the practicing.
Yes.
Because some are overseas and then they're arriving just before the wedding and then they're having to, where do you practice? People are busy. So, this past weekend, I know they really had to have a lot of work put into these dances because it was a 3-day wedding.
Right.
So, you know, they really had to practice a lot. And they said they had a WhatsApp group.
Oh my god.
And you can send people videos and that kind of thing when they're not there. But it can be quite work heavy. And again, everybody has to be really up for it and put themselves into it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I always say to my clients, you know, if you're going to do some kind of a dance or whatever, start now. There's no such thing as too much practice.
Yeah.
Rather do it so much that on the day it's second nature.
Yeah. So that you don't even need to,
especially if you're not a professional dancer. I can move my bum. I can't actually dance.
Yeah.
So if I wanted to do a routine, like, we would need to get some work put in.
And the worst is when they wanna rehearse, like, on the day of the wedding, and you know, they're all trying to get their hair done and their makeup and they're running late. So, you know, it's just like you say, it's gotta be second nature.
Yeah, but that's something that's got to be actually that wedding planners should put into the program on the day. Mm. If they're going to do a dance, give them an hour or half an hour during the day. I know they don't want to see each other sometimes, but it's worth having a quick little recap, even after the ceremony. I've seen a couple of bride and grooms do it after the ceremony. They've seen each other now. Give them just before their photographs. Mm. Give them half an hour. Let them quickly practice in the venue, and then off they go.
Yeah, and also you can, if you're speaking to your choreographer, it's really good to tell them exactly how your floor plan is.
Yeah.
So where your top table is going to be.
Right.
Where, you know, so what you've got in terms of the size of dance floor and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that then you can actually rehearse with that in mind, and they can also choreograph with that in mind. So then even if you can't have that last minute rehearsal, then you're already there, like you already have planned that in your head the whole way through.
Right. And then when it comes to live musicians or bands at, say, for instance, the ceremony or even the reception, where do you suggest at, for instance, the ceremony, where would you position your
live entertainment?
So I think, you know, if you've got a string quartet, for example, and it's in the ceremony, it depends on the chapel, because each chapel is different and different in size. You know, I've been to chapels where you can have them just off to the side, at the front, kind of thing. It's nice to have people at the front. We've done for example, we've had a flash mob where we've had guys singing opera, and they stand up on the pews and then they move to
at the
front.
Ceremony.
Yeah.
At
yeah.
the flash mob.
It works it's like Love Actually. It's that scene from Love Actually.
Yeah. Oh, you can have it with musicians, you can have it with singers. It's really
and
awesome.
And doesn't the priest get upset about it?
No. Most couples these days.
With marriage officers,
are quite happy to do, you know, to go with it. And it's a celebration of love. Most priests and ministers know that it's a celebration of love.
Yes,
so as long as it's a song about love or music about love, I'm sure they're happy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, do you have a link of a video that's been done like that?
I didn't actually video it. It's so difficult to video those things because they're in private events.
Yes.
You know? So it's very tricky in that respect.
That'd be so cool.
I think that's brilliant.
Because people tend to do a ceremony, as much as it's a celebration of the actual union, and people tend to get very bored in ceremonies because once you've been to a wedding, you've seen it all.
Exactly. And that wedding that we did that at was, she was also a wedding planner. Mm-hmm. So I think you guys are just so used to kind of knowing what works and, you know, what is different and stuff.
Mm.
But I think, you know, always where people can see them, because, you know, sight, it's this five senses thing, right?
Yeah.
So
right.
It's the sight, you know, seeing something as well as hearing, and it's just experiencing it as a whole kind of show, you know?
So
where they can see them, I would always say.
Both for ceremony and reception.
Yes.
Okay. And also you've got to think about what impact you want it to have. So do you want the impact to be as the bride's walking down the aisle? Do you want something for while they're signing their register? And then that's completely different kinds of entertainment.
Yes, right.
So, you know, someone on a guitar while they're signing might be really nice. Or, you know, if a bride has a particular song that was their song, then, you know, that could be something beautiful for her to walk down to. But
like, you look at a bagpiper or a saxophonist.
One of the loudest instruments.
Yeah, but I mean, there's nothing more
beautiful.
flesh raisin.
Absolutely. I was at a wedding in Scotland this Scottish summer. Mm. And the bagpiper is awesome because they actually lead everybody to the next
procession.
Element. Yeah. So it's such an that for me was a massive experience and it's haunting. That sound
it
so
really
haunting.
Is. Yeah. And you have a lot of kills and it really is something spectacular to experience.
And then a lot of people I find, especially South Africa, having a lot of outdoor ceremonies, a lot of times the brides tend to underestimate the amount of power needed for the ceremony.
Mm. Yeah.
So, that's something to consider. Where are your power points? Is there three-phase power? Is a venue going to be able to cope with the additional power that your technicians are pulling?
The cabling.
It's just being aware. Like, I think it's as basic as being aware that your minister will need a microphone.
Mm, right.
You know, because I've also I've been to about 8 weddings this year personally as a guest. Mm. And it's so good as a guest because you really do get a picture of how these things work, And I've had probably about half of them have not had microphones for the ministers. And then people at the back just can't hear. And it's
so then they start having conversations and they're like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, and it's really tricky. So just actually having that PA system, which is your sound system with the speakers and a microphone. And like you say, having the plug points and those kind of things.
And you can hire generators like you do at big corporate events. They come in a trailer. They don't make a lot of noise, the new ones. You can put them up and they're fantastic. Mm. Especially with the weddings which are out in farms.
Yeah, the house. Oh my God.
If you're booking big entertainment, you're going to have them because the power supply from that place won't be enough.
Yeah. Because houses, they aren't built for that kind of a show. It's, it's a mini concert in
the last thing you need is load shedding. Oh! All that money on entertainment and then the power goes down.
Yeah, make sure your venue has it. And it's also worth mentioning entertainment that doesn't actually have sound, because we've spoken so much about sound.
What about the silent discos?
Yeah, I mean, silent discos is a new thing, which is
at a wedding.
Yes, have you ever been to a silent?
I've been to a silent disco.
Brilliant.
But at a wedding, tell me how that would work.
Yeah, so you're basically all wearing headphones,
right?
And you can select your own music, so you can be next to your partner who's dancing to something completely different to what you are. So it's really interesting. It's kind of, I think it's a gimmick. Like, you're not going to be able to chat to people very much when you have those headphones on. But who can
when they're on the dance floor?
Right. Exactly.
Right.
And then also, there are other forms of entertainment. So you can have like a hostess in a big skirt that holds champagne glasses when people come through for the cocktail hour. Yeah.
Right.
So things like that are kind of, that you don't need sound. It's just, it's something visual and pretty spectacular as well.
Yeah, so, it comes down to all those, like, the food stations and, food bars, the ice cream bars. All falls part of
entertainment.
Some form of entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the experience and how you make people feel.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. We have girls that dress up as candy sticks and hand out candy. Yes, you can kind of do that at the dessert hour as well.
We've had ballerinas. Yeah. Oh, remember we had that that pink guy. What was it? He was in that pink suit. What's it called?
Was he in a morph suit?
He was in a morph suit.
Oh, wow.
But please, if you have a morph suit, please make sure that body is super hot.
Yeah, it can't have like a boob.
We had a skinny malink that just looked like a penis.
Oh, God. Which is probably right for the bachelorette
party. Yeah, that would be fine. But it didn't look like a nice penis, that was for sure.
I really hope that brides that are listening do take to heart the entertainment level. And a lot of the times, it's not necessarily choosing entertainment that's for you. Entertain your guests who have taken an entire day out of their lives to celebrate with you. Yes, of course, they're happy for you and stuff, but kind of make it worth their while. Don't make it a schlep. And, I always say, when people waste my time, I always say that's an hour of my life that I'll never get back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't take days from people's lives, and waste them, essentially. Yeah. Entertain your guests, invest in the entertainment, and it'll be so worth it in the long run. That's what people are going to kind of remember.
Yeah.
Any last pieces of advice for brides that are planning their wedding around entertainment? What would you say is like a non-negotiable?
I would just say make sure that you've given it enough lead time to book your entertainment so that you can really meet. You can meet with the suppliers and find out all the nitty gritty.
Right.
Obviously, we've covered most of that today of the question, type of questions to answer. But make sure you really give them the opportunity to know what you are about, so that it, because it's such a special day and it really is a personal day, you know. So make sure they know who you are and what you want.
Yeah. I've got another one. You can't not have a DJ at a wedding.
Yeah.
No, you have.
Non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Even though you are having a live band, that live band cannot sing forever.
Yeah, 100%.
You have to at some point switch over to a DJ. So, yes.
Even if he is playing background music.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, especially that last hour of the party, that's usually all DJ.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the band might start
last
the party
two
off
hours,
or whatever. Yeah.
You know?
But, you know, that party part where, you know, the lights get darker and people get
drunker,
you know, softer. that is definitely going to be a DJ. And like I said before, you know, silence at a wedding means that something's wrong. People start looking for the, you know, something's gone wrong. So at least your DJ should always be there to pop in as soon as something happens. I always just say play music. Then no one looks for problems.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say to brides, create an experience.
Yeah.
Your day must be an experience, and that's what the entertainment must do for you. I'm not saying you have to have a Broadway musical. It would be lovely, you know.
Yeah, but we would all love to have tap dancing,
you know, tap dancing sailor boys and so forth. But even a violinist at your ceremony can be just as beautiful.
Yeah,
and remember that your guests are going to walk away with that memory as well as you.
Yes.
So keep that in mind.
Yeah, 100%. So keep up with the conversation on Facebook and social media. This is one of our last couple of shows of the year. I know podcasts
are so excited. As much as we really love you, we are super, super excited to have a little bit of a holiday. The weddings have really taken it out of us. But Brooke and Clinton, just tell us quickly your Twitter handles, social media handles.
How do
we get hold of you?
Yeah.
So look for Singing Chef and Waiter on Facebook, Elegant Entertainment SA. And our website is www.elegant-entertainment.com. Okay. And there's a whole directory on there of entertainment. So you can just go on there and get ideas and then contact us from there.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much for coming to,
awesome.
To chat to us. And we hope we've entertained you today by listening. We didn't have any singing because I don't think we would want to. You wouldn't want to listen to either
myself
or Tom.
Spoil the surprise.
Maybe Clinton could have done a song for us, but we wouldn't have done that.
Next time.
No pressure.
But thank you so much, and we look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. CliffCentral.com.